You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, everyone, to Talking It Out with Bachelor Nation. We got another great episode for you today. We have Sierra from Clayton season. We're going to get to know her a little bit, find out about all the drama that's going on in the house right now.
Yes.
But Mike, first, you know how we do, man. We got to get to our hot takes. What do you got?
Let's do it. This is the first time this year. So it's been a lot, right? The first time this year, my hot take is not about anything at all to do with the show, but in pop culture, and more specifically, in hip-hop and rap. The okay. artist we know as Drake is in the media right now. Drake is in the news right now because, I'll just say the facts without giving my opinion first. What happened was Drake had sexual relations with this girl in a hotel. He used a condom. After they had sex, he went into the bathroom to take off the condom, which he had ejaculated inside of, and tied it up, put some hot sauce in it before tying it up, and threw it in the trash. Next thing happens is the young lady that he has sex with, she goes into the bathroom, she unties the condom and tries to inseminate the sperm into herself.
Wow.
These are facts. It's not even my opinions yet. This is just all facts.
Is next this all alleged? Find, alleged?
Well, yeah, there are facts based on what it's alleged. Correct. This is correct.
Okay.
Thank you for saying that. Thank you for clarifying that. But on the alleged facts that I have, based on what the internet is showing us, because we know the internet is true, which is complete lie if you haven't, you know, come on. But she inseminated herself with his sperm and got burnt because of the hot sauce, and she is now trying to sue Drake. It's 2022, bro. Can't make this stuff up.
Yo.
Can't make this up. What are your thoughts on it?
Certified lava boy is what I'm thinking. Yo, that is just messed up on so many levels. I mean, my initial impression was, Drake, save yourself the lawsuit and just throw that thing in the toilet. You know what I'm saying? Flush it. I know what you're going to say. The environment, yes. Clogging up the septic system. But I think that's way better than having a lawsuit on your hands or some possible, you know, one night stand pregnancy. That's I can't even believe that people are doing that nowadays. Like, is that how we're trapping dudes today? Like, that's crazy. I mean, that is crazy.
I've never been in a position to try to trap anybody, but that's apparently that's what's happening these days. All I know is Drake needs a sponsorship with some hot sauce brand. He needs to get a deal.
In a second.
He needs to get a deal with a hot sauce brand. Like, Louisiana hot sauce, that's my favorite hot sauce. Put that thing on everything to include condoms. Like, that's, he just needs.
Like, how did he, we are, neither of us are of his status or of his ilk, right?
Correct.
So he needs to look out for these types of things. And, like, where did he get that idea? Like, did somebody say, yo, the hot sauce is going to kill the sperm. Use that. Like, I'd like to know the backstory behind that.
It sounded like one of his homies that was taking a biology class, but then, like, dipped out early and, like, never went back to college. Like, that's what it sounded like to me. I mean, it's half good advice, it seems like. I don't know if it's true or not, but.
I mean, maybe get the condoms, because I know condoms do have spermicide.
They do.
So, I don't know, maybe. You know, kill two birds with one stone right there. Get rid of the spermicide.
But possibly Drake has, you know, he has a child already. I don't know how that happened, but I'm sure Drake has a lot of experience with one-night stands in hotel rooms. Because also what the article said was that he was extremely making it aware that he wanted her consent. And so,
oh no, for sure. Yeah, it's 2022.
No, for sure. Which he—that's everybody listening. It's not sex if it wasn't consent, right?
Yeah, he literally asked her. He's like, "Would you like to have sex?" And
correct.
She obviously obliged, and they proceeded to do what they were gonna do. And but yeah, man, that's wild. That's wild. Hey. And then she put him on blast. She started talking about his manhood.
How she gonna put him on blast for that? I just don't understand that. Like, you putting yourself on blast. Literally went into the bathroom, allegedly, and put your hand in the trash, dirty my germs, and then you unwrapped it and then put it inside of you. How's she gonna call somebody else out for that?
And now wants to sue. It's like the audacity, bro. The audacity. That's crazy. That's crazy.
I just don't understand. All I can say, I'm just blessed that I'll be in a relationship sooner than later, hopefully, and I ain't got to worry about that shit because that's just doing too much.
I'm married, so I don't have to worry about that at all. I'm just happy. I don't know, Mike. It's dangerous out in these streets, man, for men and women being single.
Luckily, I'm not in these streets. I'm in these condos.
Self-love, baby. Self-love.
Facts. What you got for us, man?
All right, man. Well, mine is Bachelor-related. And we're actually going to get into it with our guest on our show, Sierra. Yes. But there is clearly two villains that are presenting themselves on this season. And one of them is Cassidy and the other one is Shanae. But it's too much to unpack with both. So I'm just going to talk about Cassidy because she was up first. But Mike, have you ever heard of the saying loose lips sink ships?
I have. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately for Cassidy, she is the only one on this ship. And like, girl, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Bro, it's like, not even.
What's that? Go ahead.
No. It's just, I get the emotional reaction to it. Like, I feel for all the elites, all the bachelors, all the bachelorettes. How you got somebody that's about to go on your show, try to find love with you, and they fucking some other dude?
But like,
it happened on my season as well.
I don't like. Where is your sense? Like, why would you tell that to another contestant who's fighting for the same guy? Like, I don't understand that. Like, you talk about your side piece that you're FaceTiming and you're talking dirty to. Like, it just doesn't make any sense, man. Like, I get it. Cassidy, you're confident, you're going after what you want, you're not here to play games, you're not here to prep for children's parties, you're here to date Clay, and you made that abundantly clear. Like, we get that, but I thought she went about it the entirely wrong way. Like, sometimes you just got...
I don't think it's confidence that she has right now, that she's displaying. Oh, no. She may be confident, but I don't think she's displaying confidence in her actions based on what we've seen on the show.
Well, Clayton in this moment is seeing that as confidence and assertiveness, right? But like,
with the group
and with the viewers and with myself, in my opinion, it's arrogance more than confidence. Correct. You know what I'm saying? Like, I guess for me, it's like sometimes you just got to know when to shut the hell up. Like, in my opinion, like I said, she came off arrogant, not confident. She's out here letting everybody know who would listen. Like, how great of a connection she has with Clay and how she's not going anywhere and how she thinks her assertiveness or how he thinks her assertiveness is so hot to him. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Like, she's putting this all out there in front of the group. And like, I just remember, in contrast to when I wasn't out there saying, you know, crazy stuff to the group that they could come back and use against me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I maintained all that within myself. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to give these people any ammunition. And like, what she's doing is just alienating herself from the rest of the group. Like, she's saying she's focusing on her connection with Clayton and the other women instead of focusing on their connection. They're focusing on her, which, yeah, you got them right where you want. Like, you have them thinking about you while you're thinking about Clayton. But there's also a way to do it where you don't piss off everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, fly under the radar, be a little coy. Like, don't put all your business out there. It's just really messy the way she's doing things. Like, I think she could do it so much better. Like, be confident, be assertive, like pick your chances where you have with Clayton to get some time with him, but don't offend the other women. You know what I'm saying? And don't be defensive when they call you out on your shit. You get what I'm saying?
Correct. I don't know. You do know, bro, because I think that confidence is when you can say, I feel like I have the best connection with Clayton, but I want you to have your time as well. That's what somebody that's confident
Simple.
Yeah, you know? Simple, so man. I appreciate you for giving game. Like, you giving free game. Call her up. She need to pay you. But what's funny and what correlates between Cassidy and Drake's situation is that they both, I feel, will have instant karma. Because as we saw on the episode, Clayton was not happy. And right before the episode ended, he asked Jesse Palmer, he said, has anyone ever taken a rose back?
The bastard with the cliffhanger, bro. They love those cliffhangers. No, I agree, man. Like her attitude is basically just screw everyone else. And like, I'm the only one that matters. And she's just gaining enemies as every minute goes on in that house. And she's digging her own grave. And like you said, lo and behold, she will be the first woman ever on The Bachelor to get a rose taken back. Like, karma. Rescinded.
I don't know. My bad. I'm working on my talk. I feel that she honestly doesn't like Clayton. She just wants the 15 minutes of fame. That's just how I really feel. And Cassidy, I could be wrong about you, but baby, the way that you're going about this right now, the way I'm seeing it, the way it's being edited, is not looking, it ain't looking good for you. It just really isn't.
No, listen.
And so luckily we get to have Sierra on today. So I really want to know her thoughts on it. And because she was the one who, you know, was courageous enough to speak to Clayton about the situation.
Oh, and I love something that she did. I want to ask her about it because unlike another situation in the house with Shanae, Sierra actually was upfront about it.
Yes.
So let's get to that.
Yes. Only thing I have to say on Shanae is she was wrong. She was just wrong. You was doing way too much. You should never come with somebody for what they told you in confidence. And then you're going to bring it up to the group. And then you're going to continue to bash on her having
ADHD.
She was mocking it. And that's just not what you do.
Affects so many people. You know what I'm saying? It ain't right.
I feel that what she did, she's learned her lesson because that was just stupid. Like, everybody knows that. Cassidy, that seemed more like a, people gonna come.
No, listen, she used words like victory. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? When she got the rose, like competition, things like that. So it's like, are you really there for love? Or are you just trying to get over on these women? Like, I don't know. Again, Cassidy, we don't know you personally, girl. Like, we're just going off of what we see. We're commenting on that. And, you know, the words that come out of your mouth are the words that come out of your mouth. So,
hey, we're viewers just like everybody else to our listeners. We don't get the entire season up front, so we don't know what's going to take place. We just giving you our honest thoughts and talking it out. But I want to talk it out with Sierra, man. She was beautiful. Her words were eloquent. I just want to see her thoughts on everything.
Welcome, Sierra, to Talking It Out with Bachelor Nation. How are you doing?
I am doing wonderful today. Thank you. How are y'all?
We're doing good.
Amazing.
Feeling blessed.
Thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Sierra.
We had to have Dallas represent. We had to have you on the show.
Oh, she's from Dallas. Okay, I didn't know that.
I had to do my research. Dallas represented.
See, wifey's from Dallas, so we're already cool, Sierra. We're already cool.
There we go. Everything's better in Texas.
That's a fact.
I hear that. All right, Sierra. So let's get right into it. You got picked to be on the first group date of the season. How did that make you feel?
That was extremely exciting. I was really, really happy to be on the first group date. I'm not gonna lie, I was exhausted and tired also. So your girl had some bags under her eyes. She was not ready. Like, I would have been fine if I did get to kind of chill for a day, but you know, it was a lot.
Those kids ran you ragged, huh?
They did, but I had the energy for it in a sense because I love kids. Like, I absolutely love kids. I used to teach whenever I was in Korea. And I taught 5-year-olds, kindergartners. So, you know, they have a lot of energy, a ton of energy. So I'm used to it. And I'm over here super hyper as well, 90% of the time. So loved it, absolutely loved it. But it was a lot after that first night. I'm sure you guys know.
You tell me, Hillary Duff didn't like make you all pizzazz and full of energy like Cassidy was?
Girl was wild. So I was, you guys don't get to like see it, but I'm standing like right next to her and she's freaking out. And I kind of like look over at her and I look at Hillary Duff. I make eye contact with Hillary Duff, and it was a moment we shared. And I swear we were thinking the same thing. I kid you not. I feel like she was like, this vision, calm down. And I'm thinking, yes, girl, we live with her. But no, I was really excited to see her. Absolutely freaking love her. Yeah, super starstruck, but I know how to compose myself. Yeah, and
you were a composed fangirl, unlike Cassidy.
You were definitely composed, so that's good. But right,
thank you.
You just said something in that. You said you taught kids when you lived in Korea.
Yeah, what is that about?
Yes.
Yeah, talk to us about that.
Yes. So my mom's from Korea. Okay. She and like six of my aunts and uncles are all adopted from Korea. So
wow, nice.
After I finished university, yeah, I decided to move out there and teach. So I like turned down a job offer. I, you know, had gone to college for marketing and sales, and I had this job lined up and I turned it down and kind of had this freak out moment. And I was like, I'm going to Korea and I'm going to teach. You know, and I'm going to find my mom's orphanage. And I had all these things I kind of on a list that I wanted to do. So I did, I went over there and I taught at a couple amazing schools for a couple of years and got to travel, went to Japan, the Philippines, you know, all these fun, great places. And I got to find my mom's orphanage and go get some pamphlets and things like that and send her updated pictures of what it looks like now versus when she was a kid there. So it was a really great experience. And
that is absolutely amazing. Like,
that's astonishing.
If I'm not mistaken, you literally sold all your belongings and just went halfway across the world to South Korea and basically picked up your life there. Like, how did that help you grow as a person? Like, what did that teach you?
Oh, my Lord, so many things. So before I had moved to Korea, I was super materialistic. Like, I'm just going to put it out there. I wanted things and I wanted money. And that's the only thing that mattered to me. Like, I wanted, that's why I had gone to school for marketing and sales. I was very driven on like success was just materials. Like, how much things could I own? And I kind of had this like breaking point. So I had gotten really sick. I had gotten like sepsis, appendicitis, and peritonitis my senior year of college. And so I almost died. It was really crazy. Wow. The most expensive hospital bill I ever experienced in my life.
I'm glad you're still here.
Thank you. And that was like a wake up call for me. And that's kind of what woke me up. And I was like, none of this matters. I don't want to do this career path anymore. I don't know what I want to do, but I know it's not this. And I want to just like travel and experience life. And money is not important anymore. And so I sold everything I owned, and only things I owned fit into two suitcases. So wow. Your girl used to have, I believe I had 48 pairs of shoes at the time. 48, yeah, all in boxes still. I had tons of jewelry. I had tons of clothes. I mean, I got rid of everything down to having like six pairs of shoes and all the clothes that could fit, and moved over to Korea. That's found cool. This cute little tiny apartment and just lived my best life and got in really, really deep into yoga. That's just, I grew so much in a lot of different ways and just realized what really mattered in life and what I want out of life. That's when I realized I wanted kids. I used to never want kids either. So I was like, never am I going to have kids. Ew, no, I'm going to be Samantha from freaking, you know, Sex in the City. Like, that's me. And yeah, when I went overseas, I realized like how much I wanted kids, how much they taught me, how comfortable I made them feel when we didn't even speak the same language. It was the most amazing thing, like the way that they would just like sit in my lap and they felt so comforted by me. They would like cry in my arms and I would always make them happy and they would always feel so loved. I mean, one of the little girls even told me that like she wished she was my, like I was her mom, which I was really sad because I was like, no, you shouldn't. That's sweet, but at the same time, you shouldn't because you should love your own mommy. But it was the most like amazing thing. That's when I realized I want kids and I want to adopt from Korea as well.
I was going
like,
to ask you that.
You know, my mom.
That's really sweet.
Yep, man. I want to adopt a little girl from Korea eventually one day.
That's beautiful. I'm sure you'll make it happen.
So it seems like you fit in perfectly with that group date you were on. I mean, did Clayton get a chance to see, you know, that motherly side of you, that teacher side of you interact with the kids? And how was it watching Clayton interact with the kids?
So, I mean.
She's like giving two snaps and a twist right now for everybody.
I'm loving it right now. I'm loving it.
Do I get it? Like, what do you want from me? Do you want me to be like, you know, like.
Unfiltered, girl. Come on, that's how we do it on Talking It Out. We gotta talk it out.
Baby, we talking it out. We talking this out.
Okay, so like, can we really talk it out? We about to talk this out?
Yeah, let's talk it out.
Okay, well, if I'm gonna talk it out, okay, because I've got it. We're talking it out. I wish I would have seen more from Clayton.
Okay,
that's what I do wish on the date. He was gone for a cool minute, and he was gone. With homegirl Cassidy.
Was it all his fault? Because I mean, he did get pulled multiple times.
Come on with that. He is the bachelor, bro. He can be like, "Hey, baby, I'm trying to talk to somebody else."
I feel you.
I do wish. I mean, I got to see a little bit of him with the kids, and that was great. But I personally wanted to see more. And I think that he would have been able to see more from us girls had he been around a little more. But, you know, he was, you know, with Cassidy. So that's the realness. And I'm just going to keep it real. I mean, that's my MO.
That's
so,
it.
Yeah.
I mean, you kept it real with Clayton as well when you spoke to him. And when you spoke to Clayton about Cassidy's extracurricular activities, I'll say it like that in the nicest way possible. You were being eloquent, you were respectful, but your mission was to be honest to yourself at all times and just say what's on your mind. And that's what you're supposed to do when you're trying to get to date somebody.
Yes, 100%, I agree. And that's my biggest thing when it comes to dating. And some men like it and some men don't, but I'm going to be extremely transparent and I'm going to tell you like it is. And the thing is, it'll weed them out. The weak men will be like, oh, I don't want this. And the strong men are going to be like, listen, honey, thank you. And I'm going to tell you how it is, too. And I'm going to be like, thank you. Please do. Like, so I was very honest and transparent with him. And I just went and like, you know, he was very receptive of it, which was great. And that's why I continued to stay and, you know, take on this whole process and see, you know, if this could really develop and turn into something more, is because I respected the fact that he was receptive of it and that he could take it, you know, he could say, okay, like you're calling me out and you're trying to hold me accountable for certain things and you're trying to be honest with me. Even if that means using your own time to talk about this instead of, you know, getting to know each other on a deeper level. And so he definitely respected that, and he did open up and tell me that that was something about me that he did respect. So that was good.
Well, that's a good thing. I actually wanted to talk to you about that because when I was watching it back, that's something that came across my mind because I've been in that position as you when I was on the show a few years ago, which is like you have a finite amount of time with this individual, but at the same time, like there's something that they should know. Like just for the audience, like how do you gauge, should you bring up something they should know versus that's their business, I'm just going to focus on me with you?
I 100% think that you should bring it up. I mean, I was putting myself in Clayton's shoes, and had I been in his position and somebody knew something like this and did not tell me and chose to just talk about something that had to do with them and them as a person instead, to me, that comes off as selfish. So I'm like, okay, you're supposed to care about me and you're supposed to want to get to know me, yet you know this important information that would hurt me if I found out, or could potentially hurt me moving forward as I developed feelings for somebody and then eventually found out. But yet you wanted to talk about your family with me and do all of this instead to have your own personal gain. That would hurt my feelings, and I wouldn't be okay with that. So I tried to think of it as, like, what would I want in his position? And that's kind of how I handled it.
I mean, I've always kind of gotten on people when they do spend their time talking about other people, simply because, like, you're so limited, right, Sarah? Like, the time is so limited there, and you're trying to decipher and see if you actually have a connection with this person. It's like, you're not really advancing the relationship, you know, if you're talking about other people. But I respected the way you handled that, because not only did you tell him, but then after the fact, instead of somebody like Shanae, who basically talked behind Elizabeth's back and then went and asked, you know, when the group asked who was talking shit, she basically kept her mouth shut. You literally went straight to Cassidy and you told her about herself and you said, hey, listen, I just went over to Clayton and I told him this, this, and this, and I don't think you're right for him, straight up. And rather than, you know, hiding that information yourself and then letting the group confront you or her confront you after the fact. Like, I respected that so much, and I love the way you handled that whole situation. So that's my take on that.
Brian, it's just, you know, people from Dallas, bro. We're honest.
Yeah,
it just happens, Brian. I'm sorry. Your wife, you're used to it. You know, this is just how we are. We say it with our chest. We say how we feel, and we're elegant about it as well. Maybe not me, but Sierra definitely so.
Yes.
But Sierra, I want to get back to, like, the South Korea aspect, because right now I'm living in Mexico, and I think this is absolutely such a showing of your character, showing of who you are as a person. Literally, you two suitcases and moved across the world. Did you know Korean?
So I did not know any Korean at the time, no. So my sister was over there, and she had been over there now for about 3 years.
Okay.
And so I did have that comfort of knowing my sister was there.
Good.
However, we were on completely different sides of Seoul. So I was literally 2 hours away from her by subway. Oh. Not close, not convenient really at all.
Yeah.
With our work schedules and everything. So I did have that comfort in knowing that she was there, but yeah, I had to learn everything. I took Korean classes. I, you know, was watching all the Korean dramas, listening to Korean music, and then I would read the subway signs and bus signs every single day constantly, and I would play a game every single time I was on the bus if I could read the sign by the time the bus drove past the sign. So I was trying to, like, gain my speed and everything, and by the time I had left Korea, I was actually really, really good. I could understand Korean really well.
Awesome.
I could speak it well, and I could still speak some, but I mean, I was, you know, a little bit more fluent, and then I could read and write it very, very quickly. And I'm starting to lose it because I don't use it anymore being back, but I'm pretty sure I can gain it
well,
back.
Well, let's use it a little bit now. Can you drop a little Korean for the audience here?
Yeah, drop some for us right quick.
Oh, yes. Okay. Gosh, but I know a lot of classroom stuff, like, 앉아세요.
what does that mean? Sit down?
It just means sit down, yeah. Sit down, or, you know, what do I teach kids? I would say 앉아세요 all the time, or I would say, gosh, 미안해요, which is, you know, bit sorry. It's like, you have to tell the kids sorry all the time. Gosh, what's another one? You know, obviously there's the 안녕하세요. You know, 안녕히 계세요, 안녕히 가세요. And goodness, there's more up here. Like, oh, yeah, 너무 예뻐요. That's the one that I would hear a lot. A lot of the little old cute little hajimas would say that. They'd be like, yeah, the hajimas would be like, 너무 예뻐요. And I'd be like, oh, 감사합니다.
I love that.
That's beautiful, man. That's beautiful.
How long were you there for?
I was there for 2 years, so wow. I wish I was longer, but I was only there for 2 years, and the best 2 years ever. After that, I had moved to New York, but it was amazing while I was
and
there.
And what was like your favorite part of living in Korea, would you say? Was it dealing with the kids?
What was my favorite part? I would say one of my favorite part, there was a lot. Goodness gracious. So one of my favorite parts was the kids. I started yoga for children there at the school that I was at. So we started doing children yoga classes, super, super cute. And they would have to say everything and repeat everything in English after me. And so I learned how to do yoga in English. That was one of my favorite parts. Another favorite part that I did was one of the schools that I was actually teaching at, we did have like a type of conflict. And so long story short, I ended up leaving that school and going to work at another school. But when I had left, they were refusing to pay me like my last paycheck. Oh, wow. It was this huge thing, right?
Gotta get your money.
So yes, right? But I did the scariest thing ever. Because I believe that's really important to stand up for what you believe in. And I protested every single morning for 2 weeks straight at 9 a.m. outside the school with a sign. And I would talk to the mothers. They would stop and they would ask me, why am I protesting? I would let them know this is what's going on. I did email the parents and let them know, hi, I did not. Because I got one email from a mother and she was really hurt. She was like, you know, my daughter loves you so much. And I can't believe you would leave, you know, leave her behind. You know, she, you know, looks up to you. So there's so much. I mean, even talking about now makes me a little emotional. And so I had to like, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know what they're telling the moms. And so I reached out to all the moms' emails that I did have. And I, you know, sent them an email, not really in detail telling them what happened, but just letting them know, like, I do care about their children. You know, I love them so much and I loved working with them. But like they're just internal conflicts that are caught, like they're why I'm not teaching there anymore. And long story short, ended up going to court, representing myself in court because obviously I was a lawyer at the time.
So wait.
Yeah, it was crazy.
You were a one-woman protest, and then you defended yourself in court in Korea.
Fresh out of college, don't know the language that well. Oh, that's, yes. Wow, that's amazing.
Like if you're ever scared, if anybody out there is ever scared of doing anything, like look at this, like you just got to go for it. I mean, that's amazing.
It was, I mean, every morning I was sweating as I was holding this sign. I was terrified. I mean, the police were called on me multiple times. I showed them my visa. I would show them my ID. And I kept doing it. And then finally went to court, represented myself. I tried to get a lawyer, but I couldn't afford one because the way it works in Korea is a lot different than it is here in the States. But I just represented myself. And long story short, I won and I got my last paycheck and I got extra money as well. And so cool. It was super great. And then I got hired at another amazing school and started teaching there and moved to a new area of Korea. So it was, that was the like a pivotal moment in my life where I realized how strong I was and how much I could really do by myself. Like I know that like I don't need people. Like it's great to have people to help and assist you, but like how strong of a woman I am, I learned at that moment in my life. And it was, yeah, like that was a really big growing point for me.
See, I have so many questions for you. So many thoughts going through my mind.
That is wild. I did not think that was going to come out of your mouth like that story. That's crazy.
I think you have the best two truths and a lie ever. Like you could be anyone. Like I'm fresh out of college. I'm in Korea defending myself. Don't know the language. Protesting.
Like this should be like a movie, like some type of.
It really could.
I don't know.
It was a stressful, very stressful situation. I had no money. I was broke AF. I mean, it was a very, very crazy, you know, time in my life. And I kept getting kicked down and kicked down. Like, you know, when you just feel like you can't get up, like no matter what, you keep getting kicked down. That was literally my life until last summer, like COVID 2020 summer.
Sierra, I have to know I want to know from early memories up until last summer, how did Sierra become Sierra? What was your upbringing?
Yeah, like what gave you that strength that you showed in Korea?
Oh, do you, guys, this is a little deep. Do you want to know? Like it's deep.
Let's talk it out, Sierra.
Of course we do.
Okay. So, gosh, what made me who I am? My upbringing was actually very unstable and filled with a lot of trauma. So at a very young age, give you kind of like the cleaner version, but like at a very young age, my mother and my father had split. And my father had custody of us. And that was up until I was 10. And then my mother finally got custody of me and my sisters. And I no longer talk to my biological father. I don't have a relationship with him. You know, he got into like substance abuse and everything like that. And so, you know, that's why my mom ended up getting custody. But I think that was a huge part of my resilience and my growth was just how I grew up, like hopping home from home from home and then like being in a trailer park and then being around set, like, you know, drugs and alcohol and that seeming normal to me at a, such a young age to like see these things. And then realizing that I didn't want to become that. So whenever my mother and my father, my stepfather, finally got custody of me and my sisters, I was 10. And from 10 to 13 was really kind of like breaking me. Like, kind of like, you know, when you get like a new horse, you got to break it, you know, so it'll listen. I was so used to raising myself. I was so used to doing my laundry and, you know, getting my own food from the Salvation Army and just like taking care of me that when I was finally under a home with rules, I couldn't understand. And I was so angry. And I was just so like, I was like, you know, I've been taking care of myself. How can you tell me what to do now? How can you like try to parent me now? And I had to learn how to like adjust. And when I could finally adjust and like see, I was in high school. And my stepdad kind of every single day, like kind of kept telling me like, you are somebody, you are somebody. I want you to realize that you are somebody. And like that was like a huge part of like helping me like develop and turn into like a better woman and know my worth. Because before, like, I had no idea. I just was kind of like going through the motions, you know? And like even now it kind of chokes me up because I'm like, oh my God. But like I did that and I realized like all the things I went through, nothing could break me, nothing could stop me. Like I'm very strong, I'm very like hardworking, I'm very smart, like I am somebody. So then I went to college and I worked really hard through college and I like looked back on my life and I realized that I was going to do anything in my power to never be in the same situation again, like to never be unstable again. So I was like, I don't want to ever have to, you know, not be able to afford food or clothing or, you know, home hop or, you know, I don't want to be that person anymore. I want to be able to help those people. So what can I do to end up on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, you know? And it's a lot, but that's what it was like. That was my upbringing, and that's what kind of created the resilience in me and like the woman in me. And like if you kind of look at it, it's kind of why when I was in college I was so materialistic because I never had things. So I was so like, I want everything, I want to prove to the world that I can afford things, that I'm not poor, you know? So I had to like try to prove something different. And then whenever I was able to like heal from that and realize like that's not what makes you somebody, I was able to see clear and like what I really wanted in life, which was relationships and love and kids and a family. And so, yeah.
That's amazing. Wow. Like blown away. And I mean, like those affirmations.
Yeah, that, I don't know what I'm about.
Like those affirmations that you received from your stepdad that helped you so much. I can imagine that you transferred those over to all those kids in Korea. I mean, like you said, you had that little girl cry or little kid crying, you know, calling you their mom. I mean, you just had such an amazing impact on those children. Like I can't even begin to say that enough.
Thank you. I think I like kids so well and I work with them so well because I think about like when I'm with them, I think about me when I was a kid and I think about all the things that I missed or I didn't have or that I wished were there for me to make me feel important or loved or seen or special. And then I like give that to them because I want them to like, I don't know what their home life is like. So I want to give that to them, you know, and like, it doesn't matter if they're poor, or if they're rich, you know, I meet rich kids who feel, I mean, this little girl in Korea, her mother was a doctor and her dad was a lawyer. They're gone all the time. And she has a nanny that raises her. So that's why she told me she wanted me to be her mom was because her mom's never around and her dad's never around. Wow. So she was like, I want you to be my mom. I wish you were my mom, because I'm in her life more than her mother was. Like, you know, she was at school, so she was seeing me more throughout the day than she was seeing her own mom. And she told me, you know, when I wake up, my mommy is gone and my daddy's gone. And when I come, you know, home, like, my nanny puts me to bed, and then mommy and daddy come home and I'm already in bed. So it's like she's barely seeing her parents. Wow. So that was like, that made me realize, like, it doesn't matter if you come from nothing or if you come from everything and you have all these resources, like, kids need love, you know? So.
Amen.
Kids need love. You deserve love. You are giving love. So we appreciate you. I was taken aback just a moment ago. Brian had to talk because I just was speechless listening to you. Sia, what are you passionate about right now in the world?
Gosh, the main thing that I'm passionate about right now would have to be children in poverty and mental health. Mm. I think that's like the biggest thing. And I, like, you know, that's my biggest passion. And I just signed up actually for something in Dallas, which is like young women in Dallas that can, they have like a mentor that escorts them to the prison so that they can see their mothers and kind of build the connection with their mothers while they're still in prison so that they don't have that missing and they can still develop mentally, like, in a positive way. So I'm waiting to hear back. Hopefully I get accepted. Wow, like, and I can help them start mentoring. Because I'm still new to Dallas, so, like, you know, I don't know everything yet, but
how long you been there?
I'm starting to get my foot in the door. Just a year. It's just turned into a year.
Congrats.
So I'm trying to get my foot in the door with, you know, where I can volunteer, where it's, like, special to me. And that's one of the really big areas is children in poverty and, like, basically growing up the way I grew up. And so I want to do that. And then last year with the company I was with, I helped organize a Christmas drive for children in poverty to get them all the Christmas lists, all the presents on their Christmas lists and all the things that they need. And we ended up being able to help out like 14 different families with all of their children. And that was a really amazing thing. So I'm all about kids that are growing up under the poverty line and helping them have the resources they need and have, like, access to mental health and ways to cope with, you know, anxiety and stress. Like, I want to do children's yoga here in the States and, like, start a program like that as well in poverty areas. So just giving kids the same, like, level of access to all of these things to help them grow and develop in a positive way that other kids might have. You know, I want the playing field to be the same, you know, so they can go to college and have a wonderful career and, you know, not have to fight as hard, you know, and be as stressed out about it, you know, as I was trying to make it happen. You know, I want them to maybe have a little bit more help.
Yo, is it 2024? Can I put my ballot vote in for you?
Seriously, like, man. Like, that's so impressive. Damn. Like, I love
just hands up. Just hands
I
up.
I love your passion. I love everything that you're doing. You're the cause you want to go for. I mean, like, you're doing so many big things, and I wish you nothing but the best. Like, honestly, like, if there's any way that we could
truly
help you,
truly,
you know what I mean? Because that, I mean, the children, like everyone says, as the saying goes, the children are our future, and you're helping them with mental health and with, you know, being more confident adults and grown individuals. And I love it. Like, I love it. I love hearing your story. I'd like to ask, like, on a lighter note. I mean, you know, it got serious there for a second, but
I was just all ears, bro.
Right? No, yeah, no. It was super fascinating, honestly. Dating in Korea, what was that like? I mean, you were there 2 years.
She said, "Ooh."
Did you? How was the social scene? Like, what, you know, the nightlife, the men over there? What did you?
That's soju.
Did you dabble?
I did date in South Korea and I did dabble. I will say that I got compared to Black Panther quite a few times.
What?
You're gonna have to talk about that.
Unpack that, please. Unpack that.
Mm-mm.
I got, you know, they would be like, "Oh, you're so strong. You're so sexy. You look like a woman from Black Panther."
What?
Okay, if they say it in that tense, I ain't mad. If they say it like that, I can't be mad. You're so sexy.
They said
you're so
like
strong.
That, but it was,
I mean, that's. I guess.
I think it was because their reference. They don't really have
correct.
I mean, you don't realize, you know, it's a whole country where they're literally the same ethnicity. So, you know, you go there and they were fascinated by my hair. They were like, oh my gosh, can I touch your hair? Is that really your hair? And I'm like, yeah, it's my hair. They've never seen really big curly hair. So that was interesting to them. And then they thought I was like Polynesian or like from the Philippines at some points, like, you know, so they were kind of confused at like what I was or where I was from. And it's still like a little taboo to mix with black. So when I would tell them like, oh, I'm half Korean and I'm half black, they would just be like shocked still. They're like, wait, what? And they couldn't like grasp the concept. Yeah. And so they're like, Africa? And I'm like, no, America.
Oh, Lord.
And they'd be like, wait, what? They're like, so you're American, but you're like black. And so I'm like, okay, like I'm going to have to teach you. Like, you know, America is everything.
School
and so,
Sierra.
You know, yeah. So I think that's why everyone should travel. I think that's like, it's so important because, you know, whenever I was in Korea and I was looking at America from like the outside, you see America not as diverse as we see it. You know, like a lot of the places do see America as like white America. They really do. And so whenever they're like, wait, you don't look American, they assume because I'm not, you know, like white or like, you know, like the average, like the typical American that you would see in like a movie or something, like a TV show. So they're confused. And so you kind of have to like, you do have to kind of like, yeah, like teach them and be like, I am American. America is mixed. It's everything. You know, it is. You could be a Korean American. You could be, you know, Australian American. You could be absolutely anything. If there's no one color and there's no one race. And so I think that was like the biggest thing I had to really like repeat myself. I was like a broken record because I always did that like every day, like explaining like, no, I'm not African. I'm not from Africa. Like I'm not like I'm fully American. Like, yeah. And so, that was like a really interesting thing. And then, you know, to go back to your question with like the dating and everything, you know, I was dating some Koreans and then I realized I was more kind of like a fetish. I was getting kind of fetishized. Yeah. So I stopped. I was like, okay, this isn't working. I'm more of like a, you know, a token or like a more of a fetish. And so I stopped and I started dating like military people and I ended up getting a relationship with this guy while I was there, who was in the army. And that was a whole thing, you know, and that's why I ended up leaving Korea. But that's a whole other story.
Well, if it went bad, I'm glad you said Army, not Air Force there. So, talk bad about Army.
I was dating somebody in the Air Force too, and that was bad.
We ain't got to talk about the military. We ain't got to talk about it.
Don't insult Mike like that.
We ain't got to talk about it.
I'm just saying, he was wild.
Those Air Force boys are wild.
Some of them are.
They
definitely
are. Those are the crazy ones. Those are the ones you stay away.
Oh, no.
I like Sierra. Some of them are. Yo, going back to Monday night's episode, I got to ask you, because Cassidy came at you with like a bombshell. She, you know, with the dude she got back home. Why do you think she even said that to you?
I think that, so the night of the group date, when she had got that group date rose, there was like, you know, kind of like a tussle, you know, obviously, you know, she felt attacked by the girls. There was that whole thing, right? Well, I was very neutral. I was talking to Clayton when it happened. And so when I had came back to the group, I was like, why is it so tense in this room? And I didn't see anything with my own eyes. So I was kind of playing Switzerland. I didn't really take a side. I was just like, okay, well, you know, you're in the wrong for this and you're in the wrong for this. And I don't really know the full story, but I feel like we all could have acted better. Like it, whatever. And I think because I played neutral that night, maybe she thought we were friends. I don't know. I was just being neutral. But I think she took it as like, oh, Sierra's on my side. Because she kind of had this whole side vibe. Like, we have to take sides, you know? Her and Sinead were very much so like that. And so I think that's what she thought. She was wrong. Because I'm not on anybody's side. And she had a few drinks. She felt comfortable, I guess. And so she started opening up. And I'm not going to stop you. You know, so if you want to open up,
if you want to dig your own grave, go right ahead.
Exactly. And I mean, to be honest, the rest of the girls in the house, you know, no, she was not humble. She was flaunting that she got a rose. She was asking other women, what's your exit interview going to be? You know, as if insinuating they're going to go home. The moment I heard her talking, I was like, oof.
You slipped up.
Okay.
you gave me an opening.
Sierra, hold up. Rewind that back right quick. Did you just say, what I think you said, which was she was asking people what their exit interview was going to be?
Yes, she was asking people what their exit interviews were going to be, as if like she had her rose. So she's like, has her rose. Oh. And she's like, boop, 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 boop. And she's like waving it around, smelling it, just very just nasty behavior, just shoving in everyone's face, which is so crazy because, you know, anyway.
It's the audacity. So it's the audacity for me, Sierra. That's crazy.
Exactly. Exactly. Just doing the dang thing. And then she goes up to, gosh, I can't remember who it's either it was Kate or it was Hunter. One of the two. And she goes up to the girl and she's like asking her what her exit interview is going to be. And it's just.
That's just tacky.
I'm like, why would you? It's
like
tacky.
Arrogance.
It's very mean. While she's, arrogant while she has the rose. And so it was just not. It wasn't cool, and I was fed up. I was like, okay, the way you're acting is very tacky. If you, like, there's a lot of things about you that are tacky, but this is a really big one. And so...
I'm dead. She said there's a lot of things about you that's tacky, Bryce.
let me count the ways.
Like,
Sierra, but we didn't get to see your interaction with her. Like, I mean, they showed you stepping up to her and letting her know a little bit about herself and then you told Clayton, but what was that interaction like? Because the next thing we know, she's going back to the group. He's like, she spent her time talking about me. So like, what was said in that interaction?
Oh my God.
Let's talk it out, girl. Come on now.
Oh my God. It was so good. So I kept composed. I let her know. I said, hey, what's up? Like, you know, so there was more, there was like this other conversation that we had where like basically I was told her like if I ever had a problem with her, I'd let her know. I would tell her to her face. I'm going to keep it real. I'm not afraid to tell you like it is. That like I've been through worse in my life. Like you don't scare me. That's basically like we've had that conversation before. And so whenever that had happened, I went up to her and I said, you know how I told you that if I ever had a problem with you, I would tell you? And she's like, mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I told Clayton this, what you told me, because I thought he deserved to know. And, you know, that this is really important. And I just walked away. And she was just like waving her rose. I hope you get a rose tonight. So that's what she said. And I just walked away. And I was like, girl, I hope you keep yours.
That is awesome.
That's, oh, that smells like, ooh, that's just cheap.
But tacky, that's my main thing, too, is like, it's very tacky, but it wasn't like, because I saw a few things like online and stuff about like, oh, like what's so bad about like having a friends with benefits and et cetera, et cetera. And like, I want the main thing to be too is like having a friends with benefits obviously isn't bad. Like everybody can be sexually free. And of course, test drive it before you buy it. Like obviously, like you're not going to just take it off the lot. With the guy that she was talking to, apparently they had been on and off for like a year for a cool minute. When she wanted to date him and he didn't want to date her. And so they became friends with benefits and they were being friends with benefits. And then, so this is why I had to tell Clayton, because it wasn't about just fucking somebody before you came on the show. That's not what it was about. It was,
okay.
She had had an emotional attachment with somebody before she went on the show. And now she's supposed to be getting married.
Clayton don't
so
need that.
So that's what it was. Why would you entertain somebody like that if you've been having a fling with them for, you know, a year? You wanted a date. He didn't want to date. Now he wants to date you, but you're going on a show. So it's an inconvenient time, but yet you're going to see him as soon as you get home from the show. It's like, clearly there's something there. Like clearly there's this connection that you have. Like you can't get rid of him. You can't meet either. He or dickmatized. I don't know what it is, but you can't get rid of this man. So, which is real. Girls get dickmatized. They do. His dick is good. And you get clouded judgment. I wanted to tell Clayton, because it's not just like a hit it and quit it. It's a whole thing.
No, I can't. Yo. You're making me laugh too hard. Yo, it's funny, Brian, because she can say that, but we can't say that, though. You feel me?
No, like, well,
we cannot
stay,
say
we
that
stay all the way away from that. All the way
away
from
that. Let you have that, Sierra. You can have that.
We're living vicariously through you.
Yeah. I do want to say, though, ain't nothing wrong with doing some nasty things. You know what I'm saying? Just, nasty stuff can be
done sometimes. Nothing is wrong. Like, and I think people got me misread because I said the whole, you know, why buy the caviar to get the milk? No, like, your girl has a sex drive, okay? And, you know, I'll drive it like I stole it. Like, you know, I'm good.
Let me just stop. Let me just stop talking.
I will drive it like I stole it.
Yeah, like, you know, like, I'm about it. But this is the thing, is if I put all my cookies in a basket and then he's done having all the cookies and he doesn't want to put any more cookies in the basket, like he's had all the cookies, I can't be mad at him. I done gave him all the cookies. I cannot be mad if he decides to go get somebody else.
But see, that's where it messed up at, though. Because you should be able, with somebody that's eating your cookies, he should be able to bake the cookies with you. So therefore, you have a multiple.
He should bake the cookies. He should. And that's why I'm, you know, seeing if Clayton wants to bake cookies with me. You know what I'm saying? Like.
The new saying, can we bake cookies?
Oh, man. The tea is piping hot today, folks. Piping hot.
Facts. 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 Well, Sierra, we absolutely love having you on today. Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. Today, it was spectacular. I didn't know what we would expect. For some reason, Clayton wasn't all over you. We don't know. We'll have to talk to Clayton about that, a.k.a. Klaynos. But you are amazing.
You need more screen time. Straight up, we need to see you on our screens. Yes. We need to see this personality because you were tons of fun today. But Sierra, before we let you go, what do you hope people out there, since, like we said, you – didn't get a whole lot of screen time. I want to see more of you. Like, what do you hope people learn about you from your time on the show?
I hope that people learn that I am genuine and I am real. And I mean, I hope they've gotten that already, but and I'm a little bit of a nerd and quirky, you know, like that's why I chose a DeLorean to come up in. Like, you know, I love cars. I love things that are just very, like, bold, and I'm very bold, and so, you know, I want people to know that I'm a little different. Like, I may look like bougie, and I may have a little bit of an attitude, yes, but I'm also, you know, really, really into vehicles and cars, and I love what's under the hood of a car, and I love getting to learn about that, but I also love to be outdoors. And I also love to get my nails done, though, but I also love to go paintballing. So it's just like, you know, you can't put me in a box. And I think that when people can't put somebody into a box, they try to, like, they don't know what to do, you know, and they kind of discard the person or kind of forget about the person or, you know, just. Yeah, leave it alone. But I think that more people should be outside of the box. I think more people should be allowed to be in all over the place and not, you know, put into one little area and seen as one specific type of person, because it's boring. And I wouldn't want somebody like that in my life. And so, you know, yeah.
And Mike, I think I could speak for you when I say that the versatility that you're talking about in a woman is sexy as hell. Like, so keep doing you.
Damn right.
Keep doing you, and be you, and don't change for anybody.
Can't wait to see you next and see what you do. Can't continue to wait to watch you on this season unfold.
Yes. Thank you so much for coming on, Sierra. Like, you were awesome. You were awesome.
Thank you.
You really were. Thank you so much.
You two are both awesome and super easy to talk to. Super fun to talk to.
This may be recency bias, but I love Sierra. She was amazing. She was absolutely fantastic.
I mean, she brought it all. Like,
she really did.
An amazing personal story, right? I mean, defending herself in a foreign country as her own lawyer, protesting, you know, what's right by herself, with the sign, holding it up and everything. Like, not knowing the language. And then
fresh out of college.
And then she just brought out, like, the flamethrower today, and she was like shots fired. That's all I gotta say.
Oh, I hope she got a bulletproof vest on, because she definitely had through shots fired.
Oh, 100%. My God. But hey, listen,
100%.
That's what talking out is all about, right there. I mean, that was on her chest. I mean, she was real from the get-go. And you could see that come out on the show.
I mean, the different levels of emotion that we were able to talk about with Sierra, you know that she is in tune with who she is. She's an extremely confident woman. She loves herself. She loves her people. And she knows, like, what's truly important within life. I think that was the most beautiful thing about today's talk. She knows what's truly important in life. I just love her authenticity and her integrity when it comes to, I used to be this way. This happened, now this way. Like, I just love it. Yeah, she like said
you,
with her chest.
You could see, like, the journey of her growth. You know what I mean? Like, when she's talked about her childhood and her upbringing and how she, you know, was at a really low point, you know, between that 10 and 13 years of age. 26, I mean, she seems like she's gone through so much. And yeah, at such a young age, you know what I'm saying? She's only 26. I mean, she has like legit life experience.
You know what I mean? 100% has life experience. And I mean, it's just so amazing. Like the characteristics that she has in order to like travel around the world. Her sister's 2 hours away, so she's not next door.
Yeah.
Doesn't know the language. I mean, and then to just be able to eloquently speak to Clayton about what took place, you know, tell the person how she feels. I just love it. I hope that Sierra, can't wait to watch her season unfold, seriously.
Yeah, you know, I hope she makes it far. And like we said, if, you know, Clayton's not the man for her, then I hope to see her on Paradise. She's tons of fun.
Period dot. Seriously, seriously.
All right, guys, to everybody out there listening, Mike and I just want to thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. And of course, guys, we can't forget, we're casting for The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. So make sure to head to bachelornation.com/apply. That's bachelornation.com/apply.
And you know, we always love to hear your opinions. I know y'all gonna have a lot based on this episode, your stories, your insights. So please don't forget to like, comment, follow. Message us on social at Talking Out BN. That's Talking Out B as in Bachelor, N as in Nation on IG. Bachelor Nation on TikTok and Facebook, and Bachelor Nation on Twitter. And as always, baby, you already know. Don't forget to hit subscribe to our podcast and listen to us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And, baby, don't DM me no more until you hit that subscribe.